Hello everyone, it's Chris Hall here from Charity Digital, the organisation that helps other charities be more digital. Today, we have a special podcast for you. In March, we had over 400 charity professionals join us at Olympia London for a day of learning, knowledge sharing and connecting. We managed to record all of the 22 sessions from the day, and we'll be releasing them as bonus podcasts throughout the series to help share some of the amazing conversations we were having on the day. If you want to keep up to date with all our upcoming podcasts and events, like and subscribe the podcast through your usual podcast provider and sign up for Charity Digital updates at charitydigital.org.uk. Enjoy the pod.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Adam Bryan, Director of Partnerships and Innovation, the Institute of Fundraising. I'm delighted to welcome Joe from WWF, who is in the fundraising acquisition team, to talk about how we make digital as effective as we can. Obviously, we're in the midst of a climate crisis. There's lots of news relating to the environment. So it'd be just fascinating to hear from Joe how you're using some of these factors to find new supporters and support the great work that you do.
Thanks, Adam. Hi everyone, I'm Joe Trigg from WWF UK, and I'm the Senior Online Acquisition Manager. And what that means is my team looks after all the paid social, paid search and display activity, and the web optimization of the fundraising site, and a little bit of email as well. And what we're trying to do is to generally sell Animal Adoptions, which is our big like flagship product, and then WWF memberships, one-off donations, recurring donations, that sort of thing. So my team sits within the wider fundraising department. And today I'm going to talk to you about how to make digital advertising more relevant, something that we've been trying to do a lot more over the last couple of years. So targeting our campaigns based on what's happening in the outside world rather than like looking at our own internal calendars. And a tactic that we're finding is really successful at the moment. So I'm very aware that I'm the session before lunch. So try and stay with me. I've got some interesting campaigns to talk to you about. I'll go through about five or six of them and hopefully you'll find them useful as well. So I'm going to start with a campaign that we did around Black Friday. So this image probably strikes fear into a lot of people's hearts. It's horrible time of the year, particularly because of all the consumerism that goes on around Black Friday. And we're finding more and more Black Friday sales coming online. And at WWF, this consumerism lifestyle, I suppose, is what is driving a huge amount of, it's driving a lot of deforestation, it's driving, you know, it's not helping the climate and nature crisis that we're currently in. So we wanted a way to say, you know, this is crazy, why are we focusing on this? And also to provide an action that people could take, which kind of made a bit of fun out of Black Friday in general. So this was the creative that we used. So we had at the top left, this was a video. So it went through like frame by frame. And we had Black Friday sale at the top and right at the very start. And we used a few different creatives for it. So we had like a handbag. We had some makeup. We had a gaming controller. And what we did was then zoomed out so that the user then saw a face and the handbag was actually the nose of the panda. And then we zoomed out again to reveal the whole panda face and said less than 1900 left. So aligning our marketing very much with Black Friday and what everyone else was saying, but applying it to wildlife and kind of saying, well, you're all worried about these products and we've only got 1900 pandas left. And then we zoomed out again to show like a number of different species that are threatened. So on that one, we had penguin, snow leopard and polar bear. And then over to the call to action, which was adopt an animal this holiday season before they're gone. And people loved this ad. We were having comments on our ads saying, you know, like great creative, like love it, congratulations WWF, and we had really good response from it as well. So anyone who works on social media, you'll probably realize that that's to have such positive comments is quite unusual. So it was quite nice for us to see as a team, like, oh, we've actually done something that people are genuinely impressed by and like really converting. And what I've decided to do with this presentation is to have the corresponding spike that we saw in our analytics for all of the activity that we're running. So over here at the start, we're running at around, like, this is in November, so we're running at around, you know, like about 750 financial transactions a day, which for WWF, we're mainly selling animal adoptions at that point. It's Christmas presents for people. And we have quite big fundraising targets around Christmas. About 50% of our fundraising happens in November and December. So it's quite a high pressure period for us. And at this point, actually, we were a bit behind target. And you'll see, you can see immediately when we launched the campaign, we saw a big spike. And that's not because we were spending loads more, but just because the cost per acquisition came right down. And then it sustained for about a week or so, up at about 1,200 conversions. So straight away from that campaign, we'd added about 500 conversions per day on top of what we were doing already. And that campaign went down really well, and we kind of continued it into December too. So we had another variant, which was for Boxing Day, not Black Friday and that sort of thing. Then the next one I'm going to talk about was the Amazon rainforest fires in August of last year. And started with a tweet that our social media manager put out on Twitter that said, it said something like, when the Notre Dame Cathedral was on fire, there was loads of donations. Everyone was horrified. Why is there not the same level of outrage for the Amazon rainforest? And that tweet got really great pickup, loads of retweets, loads of likes, like massive amount of engagement, more than we're used to seeing on Twitter. And we kind of thought, this is something that people, our audiences, really care about. So let's set up an appeal. We've got a team in Brazil. So we decided to raise money to send out to the team in Brazil to kind of like tackle the effects that the fires were having. And we set up two pages. So we had this page on the left-hand side, which was five things you can do to help the Amazon rainforest. And of those five things, two were financial actions. So we had donate to our emergency appeal, and we had become a WWF member. And the other things were like sign a petition, retweet our tweet. Last one was like change your diet. And then on the right-hand side, we had this emergency appeal page. And this was the one that was actually like the mechanism for donating. And this one clicked through to this one. And we did some testing on social to say, right, if we direct half the users to this page and half the users to that page, what's the best journey? And we were kind of surprised to see, so I've got some costs per acquisitions here, that via the five ways page was actually more effective than going directly to the appeal. So they're both incredible CPAs for donations, but we were surprised in that, you know, we've actually added an extra step to the user journey and we've achieved a better CPA. And I think it's possibly because we, at that point, we're kind of giving the users a bit of choice, like here's five things you can do. And they almost seem more likely to do them and donate, having given them choice. Maybe it felt like we gave them a bit more control rather than sending them directly to the emergency appeal page. So we had that campaign live on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And here's an example of some more ads we did. So these were the Twitter ads, and this was our Instagram story ad. And the reason we were picking these channels is because they're quite relevant and up to date, and they're what's happening right now, particularly with Instagram stories. If you've got an ad in Instagram stories, it's surrounded by content of things that are happening in the last 24 hours. And because that's what our campaign was about, I feel like it resonated really well for that reason. So we had this, you know, we're all outraged and heartbroken, quite a lot of copy on it, and we had three frames, and probably the best cost per acquisition we've ever seen on any paid ad format. You know, at one point we were down at like a pound per donation, which was ridiculous. The thing I want to point out is like people were actually screenshotting it and reposting it to their own stories. And this person said, finally an ad I actually care about, WWF UK, which as the person who looks after all the paid online ads for WWF, I wasn't sure really whether to take it as a compliment or an insult. I decided on compliment in the end. But this is the spike. And I'm fully aware there's no scale to this, so I'll just talk you through the numbers that or didn't want to have the numbers on the slides, but now I realize that my words are going up the top anyway, it doesn't really matter. But we've got about 200 conversions a day going along the bottom, pretty standard for that time of year in August. And then as soon as we launch the appeal, it goes up to around 5,000 conversions a day, which that's a level that I wasn't even sure our website could take. And we had that for a couple of days, and like, to have that volume for 2 days, that hits our fundraising target for the month. So it was just massive. Like at the time, those were the two biggest fundraising days we'd ever had. And then the other thing I want to point out is how quickly it gets it dropped off. So as soon as it was out of the news, it was kind of out of people's minds. And like, this is when there was loads of chat about Brexit as well. And it just became old news to people, I think. And, you know, after 10 days, 2 weeks, we're kind of like back down at normal levels. So if we hadn't kind of got a campaign live quickly within a couple of days, you would have completely missed the moment, like totally, and we wouldn't have been able to see as big a spike. So the lesson we learned was to be quick in those situations. If there's something happening in the news and we can react to it and we can be part of the conversation and we can, you know, promise that the money that we get is going to go out to our Brazil teams, then that's what we're going to do. And onto another crisis, much more recent, in January of this year, was the Australia bushfire crisis. And this was kind of our second go at this. We had the Amazon as kind of a practice run, I suppose, and learned a lot from it. And this time we tried some different tactics. So we launched this koala protector product. And this was just, it was a donation of around £25. We were asking for £25 per person to become a koala protector. And they got a certificate and they got update emails and stuff like that. And I think because this actually worked better, and I think because people see us like WWF or a wildlife charity, and because the Australia fires had the species link and all of the videos in the media were showing like koalas and kangaroos, because we could be part of that conversation in a way that people are more likely to understand that we naturally are part of that conversation, it worked really well. And we had some really kind of sad imagery, some stuff that we couldn't even, you know, it was, we couldn't even show it on Facebook. They wouldn't allow us to run it. So this one we got past and it performed really well. And then we clicked them through to the Koala Protector page. Alongside this, we had the bushfire appeal. And this was the mechanism that was the same as the Amazon. It was just a one-off donation. And while we're doing this, these are two kind of different donation products running side by side. And I feel like it worked really well because we were capturing people that cared about the crisis and the climate change element of it with this campaign, while the Koala Protector campaign was people who were much more into the species. So I feel like our audience was possibly slightly wider. It was in the media a lot longer, and we actually managed to raise a lot of money for our Australia team. This was our paid search ad that we ran. We were bidding on terms such as Australia fires, Australia bushfire, bushfire emergency, koalas, that sort of thing, and showing that we were the people who, if you donated to us, we could then help and provide support in those areas. And we got really good performance from this too. And I think in addition to having good performance from it, it was also good for us to show ourselves as the brand that was in that space. And another thing that we didn't do during the Amazon fires, because we didn't have time, was run any display activity. This time for Australia, we decided, right, let's get some display banners made. Let's get this off of just social and direct people again to either the Koala Protector or the Australia bushfires page. And again, as you'd expect, worked far better than the rest of our display activity. I got the spike for this one as well. So over here, we've got on the left-hand side, you've got kind of like the tail end of Christmas. And then it kind of, Christmas Day comes down. You've got a bit of a lull between Christmas and New Year. And then when we came back in January, that was when we put the appeal live. And I think most of us were kind of, we'd had a busy December and we were looking forward to like a nice, like quiet January. Did not happen at all. We launched this appeal and this time we've kind of got like a bit of a triple spike. And the three bits were the initial launch of the bushfire appeal. And then that big spike that goes all the way up to the top, that was over 6,000 conversions that day. And that was the day that we launched the Koala Protector. So that Koala Protector product, we kind of like the idea of it and actually launching it would all happen within 48 hours. So it was really quick sign off, managing to get things done, which I think maybe if we hadn't done the same thing for the Amazon appeal, we wouldn't have believed that we could do it that quickly. And then the last spike over there on the right-hand side was kind of, we decided to start investing a lot more in paid social than we were currently, just to try and extend this tail. And you can see that we did. So in the end, we actually raised, I think it was 2.5 mil in the UK for Australia, whereas we'd only done about a mil for the Amazon. So really successful and the biggest campaign that we've run. So came on after Australia fires, we thought, right, what else is relevant? What else can we talk about? Came on to Valentine's Day. We've got some great images of animals. We've got these elephants and penguins kissing, I suppose. And we thought it'd be a good idea. You know, Christmas worked really well. let's see if people want to buy Valentine's gifts for people as animal adoptions. And for some reason, it didn't really work that well. There's no spike there, which is fine. I don't know whether it's because we didn't try and push it enough, it didn't get uptake, people weren't sharing it on social, or we didn't have more teams involved. But I think the point is we're still learning about what will work and what won't work. And we are trying things and like failing sometimes and succeeding sometimes. And this was a case where, you know, we tried doing loads of Valentine's ads and they didn't really, they converted okay, but nothing to the extent of what we've seen elsewhere. And taking you back to Christmas. So this was Christmas. Yeah, Christmas just gone. What we're trying to do more of on Instagram stories is to have full length video. We've been really bad at that in the past. We've like tried to have square videos in instead of full portrait, and it's just not worked as well. This one, we had an image of kind of like the WWF adoption box. It's kind of like shaking, and then it kind of like pings open and the camera zooms in and you've got like the scene, whether it's like a penguin or a snow leopard. And then it zooms back out and it says, this year, think outside the box, give a WWF adoption as a Christmas present. It's so well on Instagram stories. We're kind of like at this point, this is like the key Christmas period. So we're talking from about the 8th or 9th of December to about the 17th of December. Like that's our like absolute core Christmas period. And yeah, we had a great response to it. So you'll see down here, that's like the tail end of like our Black Friday campaign into the end of November. And then this is when we launched. So that big spike there is when we launched this creative. And that spike takes us up to about 2,000 conversions a day. We had this dip here. That dip was actually the UK general election, the day before it, the day of it, and the day after it. So I'm blaming Boris Johnson for that one. But the rest of it was absolutely great. And we managed to keep that up a little bit longer and hit our fundraising targets, which is wicked. And taking you back again, we had a campaign in Christmas 2018 around the Dynasties series. I don't know if many of you remember that series, but it was a David Attenborough series on BBC. It was 5 episodes long, and each episode focused on a different endangered species. And fortunately enough, we offer adoption products for 3 of those species, lion, tiger, and penguin being the ones that we had activity around. So what we did is we try and do this quite a lot, but this is the best example of where it was really successful. Push ads out right at the time when the series is about to start. So, you know, 8 o'clock on a Sunday night when people are like getting ready to watch it, we start putting the ads out and then continue them afterwards and into the Monday. And we kind of worked with the BBC and they allowed us to have BBC Dynasties in the copy. So we were nicely tied in. And the reason this was probably successful was because everyone's watching it at the same time. And we find that with BBC series in particular, like if it's a Sunday night, people tend to sit down on a Sunday night and watch it. And what we're less able to do now, given a lot more of these programs going on Netflix, is you don't have a key time to like focus your activity around because everyone's watching it at a different time. So that's become far more tricky for us to kind of TV sync our activity because there's just less likelihood that the people watching it are watching it at the time you want them to be watching it. This though worked fine. This in particular, we saw is quite clear to see when the episode went live, goes from around 40 conversions an hour to well over 100 conversions an hour. So quite clear that people were seeing the adverts, having linked it to the what they watched on TV, they were dual screening or, and then made the donation as a result. And this high conversion rate went well into the Monday. So it was well worth doing. And it was nice to be able to tie our activity into what people were watching on TV too. Away from making our ads more relevant for the public, I wanted to talk about another area of activity that we've been working on at WWF, which is website optimization, which we switched to a new platform on Drupal in March last year. And it's far more solid. I don't think that our old website could have handled all of the traffic that we've delivered to it, especially for Australia. And we're starting to do much more testing. So for example, on this Australia bushfire emergency page that you saw, the initial version of that actually had a donation box further down the page. It was kind of like a donation widget which went across. And we tested moving that just right up into the top, right underneath the headline, put the donation box as high as we could. And we ran that test for a week. Control variable was the initial one. This was the variant. And we actually saw an additional 16K worth of income coming just because we put the box further up, which I just found mad, really. I didn't really think it could have that much of an impact, but I think because of the amount of traffic. Sorry. It's this. So this box up here, the donation box, that used to sit across here. So yeah, it wasn't sitting on the image before, it was sitting within the copy. So we thought that would be enough, but because we moved it up and people could see it as soon as they loaded the page, that was a thing that seemed to make a difference. Another example of what we're trying to do on mobile is, like, previously our adoption call to actions, if people scrolled down our animal adoption pages, for example, they would have an adoption box and then they'd have to scroll back up to find the CTA again. We've simply changed it so that the adopt now call to action always sticks as the user scrolling down the page. And we've seen that's had a massive impact. Then they just pop it open here and they can choose their amount, whether they want to give one off or monthly. So that caused a real increase in conversion rate for us on mobile. So this is something that we're really trying to do, like trying to invest in updating our website and making changes for the positive, so that when we do get these high periods of traffic, those little changes that we've already made are already in place and we can increase, we know we've got increased conversion rate already ready to go. And the other thing that we're trying to do is be more reactive to what's going on outside our, like, little bubble, because all the main examples of successful campaigns that we've run recently have come as a result of, like, focusing on an external moment rather than looking at our calendars and, like, trying to make our own moment, really. Like, when we, it's almost like we try and ride the wave of what everyone's talking about anyway, and positioning WWF as the brand in that space that can, like, solve that problem in that area, protect that species, help fight the climate crisis. And we're, as a brand, we're in, I would say, like, I wouldn't say it's a fortunate position. It's, I guess it's unfortunate that we're in that position, this position anyway, but it's fortunate for us in terms of fundraising that we can, we're able to fundraise for this sort of thing. And we find it difficult internally to, like, talk about it as, you know, this was, like, this amazing success. Like, we had this incredible campaign. We, like, raised all this money, because at the end of the day, they're, like, disasters that are happening around the world and, like, big evidence of, like, climate crisis. And we don't want to be raising money for that ideally, but while they're happening, we want to be the brand that can help mitigate and, I guess, regenerate these areas. And just wanted to now open the floor up to any questions. I hope you found it interesting and some of it useful, but yeah, absolutely. If you've got questions, feel free. Thank you very much.
Hi, thank you very much. It was really, really interesting. Could you tell us a bit more about your targeting and your audiences online? Like, when you talked about the spikes, are these, like, new audience or is retargeting looks likes?
Yeah, that's fine. More about that. Happy thank to. You. So we generally split our audiences into, like, a hot, warm and cold brackets. So hot are people that have been on our website very recently. Warm might be, like, lookalikes of people that we've already got. And cold might be people who have got a wider interest in the environment. And then that encompasses those three audiences together, probably add up to about 50% of the UK population. So the cold audience is massive. It's just, like, general interest in conservation. And then what we'll do during these crises is we will then obviously increase our spend on all of those audiences, but then activate the portion below it. So we'll actually go completely cold under what we've now dubbed as frozen. So people who have historically shown no interest whatsoever, but we're like, right, they might have shown no interest, but we think they might care about this. So we've been able to try and access those really cold people too. So it's about what we found. It's about spending more on what you've got and activating any ones which you're not currently targeting. Does that help?
We've got some questions coming through on the app. So there was a couple about audiences, and then one from Dario about the lifetime value of some of the support. And I appreciate if they're only signed up a year, it's difficult to know, but looking at some of the cost per acquisition on social and just the kind of expected lifetime value that you would have with some of these new supporters through these channels.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, generally our like key product is the adoption product, and that's probably worth, one animal adoption is probably worth about like £60. Whereas these emergency appeals that we're talking about, they're just one-off donations generally, and they're on average about £25-30 one-off. So they're around half as valuable, but when our cost per acquisition is kind of 5 or 6 times less, then in terms of return on investment, it still makes sense to go after these lower value one-off donations. So I guess then it's about us working on like onward journeys for these people and making sure that the other thing is we're finding the people that give in an emergency situation tend to be a lot younger as well. So, and I don't know whether that's a trend with younger people wanting to give more frequent one-off donations and not commit to a direct debit or something, but we definitely saw like a significant drop in age and a significant drop in value when people are giving in emergency situations, which, like I said, is fine given the volume.
Yeah. And fascinating story, I think a great presentation, Joe. And you know, really interesting how WWF have gone now to become an emergency appeal organization. And obviously, you know, the traditional ones that we know, like the Red Cross, you know, make a lot of money through disasters. And obviously we'd prefer not to be making money, but it's, you know, it's fascinating that that change of direction that enables you to be reactive and use social channels to raise funds. How does that fit with the rest of your acquisition models? And
it's a funny one because it's kind of thrown all our volumes kind of completely out the window. And because the money raised in emergency situations, then they're restricted to that particular cause. So it's like, generally we'd like to raise unrestricted funds, but because we want to, because we think we can help in these situations, we fundraise for them anyway. And I think maybe it is a bit of a switch of mindset internally, maybe, just to try and become more of, do more in an emergency perspective rather than just having our business as usual activity. And I think we're just going to have to continue to do that better and better, because I don't think these emergency situations are going to stop. So it's kind of up to us to like say, right, how can we help? And also communications with our programs team to say, look, what programs have you got set up? Like, if we're going to raise money, what are they actually going to go to? How much do you need? Like, we don't want to be in a situation where we raise loads and loads of money and it's amazing acquisition and you can't spend it. So,
yeah. And another question on the app from Hannah, just for the emergency appeals, how just going into a bit more detail on that, is how much are you pushing regular giving or happy to accept the one-off donation?
Yeah, we're not really pushing regular giving in those situations. We, for the Amazon, we kind of said become a member as well. Like, if you remember the five ways page, one was to donate to the emergency appeal and one was to become a member.
Yeah.
So we did kind of that. That's regular giving, but broadly it's one-offs. Because the other thing is, say for example, someone takes out a recurring donation for the Australia crisis, and then that goes on for 2 years, but we might not need the money for 2 years. So it's, and then it puts us in a difficult situation because we're like, right, we're still getting money from this person, but is the project still live?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of why we're going more towards like, just get the one off and then we'll work it out.
Great. Another question on the app from Mel. And I know you touched upon how you kind of tweak the website for optimization, how you use slightly different ads on different formats.
Yeah.
Again, can you just go into a bit more depth on what you think works on which platform and why?
I would always say, like, for Instagram stories, which seems to be working really well for us, 100% like portrait images and videos, because we're just finding like when we launch squares or even landscapes and Instagram stories, they just don't get the same pickup. And also, like, if you are in a time sensitive situation, like tailoring that time sensitive nature of it to the format. So kind of like I said, with Instagram stories and Twitter, like people go on them to find out what's happening right now. So if there's, so that becomes the perfect platform for us if we're also talking about something that's happening right now. Whereas maybe longer term stuff is for, like, I don't know, Facebook newsfeed or paid search, maybe when people are actually actively interested in that topic.
Okay, great. They're coming thick and fast, the questions. And I know we've still got a bit of time. This is from Giacomo, a really interesting one. Because you mentioned about being reactive, and actually most of your success coming from that. What internal barriers have you come up against? Because I could imagine, you know, if you present your digital strategy and you say, oh, we're just going to wait to see what happens, your directors and finance people are a bit like, well, we need a plan. We like to have a plan on what we're going to do. If you'd say, well, we're just going to react to the outside world.
Yeah.
How do you get around that one?
It's definitely tricky. I mean, when the Amazon one happened in August, it actually happened that most of our directors were on holiday, so we couldn't really get sign off anyway. So we just kind of did it. And I think once they saw like how successful that was, and they were fully behind it, and then they came back in when we did the Australia one, and everyone was in the office, and they'd seen the success that we'd had before, and wanted to replicate that for Australia. I do think about this sometimes as well, because I'm a person that likes to have a strategy and a plan and have things in place and structure. So it is hard to actually like switch your mindset completely in those situations and be like, right, throw all that out the window, let's do this. It's actually exhausting as well. So we struggle with it, I think, a little bit internally.
Yeah.
Because then after that, like, we're still picking up some of the, I don't know, like tax and VAT implications of stuff that we did in January that we hadn't thought about, and now we need to like rectify. And we've kind of, it's almost like we do it and then it's like a clear up afterwards. Right. Like I said, we were trying to have a relaxing January and like get everything in shape, and there was loads of things we wanted to do and that just didn't happen.
Yeah.
But we managed to raise over 2 mil for Australia. So
yeah, really?
That's great.
Okay, yeah. So a good answer that is honest, and that's where you are with
yeah.
it. So there will be barriers. Final question perhaps here from Bex. Is all of the appeal money restricted to the countries where the campaign is for, or would it go into a general?
So for Australia appeal and for Amazon appeal, yes, like fully restricted. Koala Protector, we actually did have some of that coming into an unrestricted pot, and we were honest about that on the page. So I think as long as we're upfront about that, then it's okay. But I think people do want to give money and be sure that it's going to that cause. So I think it's important that we're not just being seen by people to benefit from a crisis. We're actually the people that can help. Yeah.
And the final question from the gentleman.
You haven't said much about acquisition. What drives people to your website? I imagine most of us are using Google Ad Grants, like I am. You know, what works for you?
It's so much of it is paid social. Honestly, like proportionally, it's so much bigger than the other channels, Instagram and Facebook in particular. And really investing in those channels, investing in all the new ad formats, that is really what's making the difference. And when we actually run a lot of paid social, we see spikes in search as well. So it's the social that's driving the searches. So that's the key channel for us. I sometimes worry that we're almost too reliant on it, really.
Wow.
But yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you, Joe. We ran over, we kept you from your lunch. So big round of applause.